Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, Ministering Priests, from the series Exodus, and explores how God's intricate design for priestly garments reveals his heart for worship, ministry, and the ultimate fulfillment in Jesus, our great high priest. Before we get started with today's teaching, though, we invite you to check out PastorJeff.com to find more resources to help you grow in your walk. And be sure to sign up for Pastor Jeff's weekly email devotion to receive encouragement right in your inbox. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
Well, this morning we are back in the book of Exodus, and those that have been with us for a while, we've been journeying through this entire book, word by word, and we're in chapter 28 today. And while you're turning to chapter 28 today in your Bible, I'll just give you an overview. God had a love and still has a love for the nation of Israel, and God wanted to deliver the nation of Israel from the slavery and bondage they were under Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't like the idea of what was going to happen, and he was getting wind that God was going to bring a deliverer, so he had all the Hebrew boys under the age of 2 murdered, but not for Moses' mom. Moses' mom, you remember, put him in a basket, sent him down the river. It was as if God was saying, you think you're going to stop my work? Not only am I going to bring a deliverer, he's going to be raised in your house. Moses was raised in the house of Pharaoh at the age of 40, murdered an Egyptian. It was found out, so he fled to the wilderness for 40 years. It was there 40 years later when he was 80 years old. He was called at a burning bush to go back to Egypt and be the deliverer. God takes him back to Egypt, and we see all of these amazing things take place. Through Moses' leadership, God rains down 10 different plagues over the different gods of the nation, showing that he is the one and only God. And every time Moses kept saying, let my people go, sometimes Pharaoh would relent a little bit, but then he'd harden his heart, saying, no way. The final straw was when the firstborn were killed of every single family that didn't have blood on the doorposts. And Pharaoh finally said, you can go. But then he hardened his heart. Remember, he chased him down. And now they're standing at the Red Sea. There's no way forward. There's no way back. And God miraculously parts the Red Sea, brings Israel through, crushes the Egyptian army, and they worship him on the bank of the river. Then God provides food. He provides bread. He provides meat. He provides water. He provides deliverance from their enemies. And he leads them all the way to Mount Sinai, where at Mount Sinai, God is going to show them who he is. The people, when they experience some of the presence of God, are quaking in their boots because God is so powerful and so holy and so strong. And God calls Moses up, and God begins to reveal to Moses, here's how I want my people to relate to me. And God needed Moses to relate to the people this, that he's holy and that he's worthy and that he's unlike any other God. And there is a specific way that they're going to need to relate to him. When we left off last time, we looked at chapters 25, 26, and 27 about the building of the tabernacle. Do you remember? And how everything in the tabernacle was a representation of who our God is and ultimately how it was going to be fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to be in chapters 28 and 29. And here's what we're going to discuss. We're going to discuss priestly garments. Priestly garments. Unless you're a tailor or you work at a clothing store, you would probably read through this and you would get to 28 and 29 and be like, I get it. I'm moving on. Why do I need to know anything? But I believe that every single word of God's word is important. And I love pastoring a church like Brave because I know you'd want me to teach you what these two chapters have to say. Amen. So this morning, we're going to take a look at priestly garments. And we're going to take a look at God's ministering priests and who they are and why God chose them. And we're going to take a look at four areas as to why God chose priests and what he was trying to tell us through this. And what you're going to see in this entire thing, is that every bit of clothing and every article that he's doing represents the resurrected and glorified Jesus Christ. Because what the high priest did in the Old Testament, we're going to see that Jesus Christ finished at the cross. And all of this was a foreshadowing to who Jesus Christ was going to be on our behalf. And what we see here in the text is that God created Israel to be a theocracy. In other words, God wanted them to worship him so that he could rule. Eventually, Egypt relented and said, we don't want to just worship you. We want to be like all the other nations. We want a king. And so God allowed them to have a king, and that didn't go very well for them. And it's never gone very well for them. God wanted them to be a theocracy and basically say, if you'll worship me, I'll give you all the direction that you need as a nation. By the way, the same thing's true today. If we would just worship the Lord, he would give us everything we need as a nation. Amen. And that's what he was trying to teach them, because he was trying to teach them about his character. And what you're going to see in the text today is our God is unlike any other God that anybody's ever tried to invent or create on their own. Our God is holy. Our God is righteous. Our God is good. Our God is loving. Our God is set apart, and he's unlike any other. So as we look in Exodus chapter 28, as he's just finished up the teaching of what this tabernacle was going to look like and how they were to keep this tent of meeting lit up, he begins to talk about what these garments of the priests should look like. And here's the first point I want to make, that God chose priests to be ministers and mediators between God and his people. He chose priests to be mediators between and ministers between God and his people. If God wanted to get the message to his people, he needed to go between. He needed somebody to hear who he was and relate that to the people. He needed somebody that was going to minister and worship him and teach people how to worship him. And this is what we see in the text. Notice chapter 28, verse 1. As God instructs Moses, he says, then bring near to yourself Aaron, your brother, that's his older brother, and his sons with him from among the sons of Israel to minister as priests to me. Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. You shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. You shall speak to all the skillful persons whom I have endowed with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate them, that he may minister as a priest to me. These are the garments which they shall make: a breastpiece and an ephod, a robe and a tunic of checkered work, a turban and a sash. They shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that he may minister as a priest to me. And this is what we see. God's going to be the one that chooses the priest. In other words, to be a priest, you had to come from the Levitical line. Jacob had 12 sons. One of his sons was Levi. You had to come from the tribe of Levi in order to be a priest. Not everybody in the tribe of Levi was a priest, but in order to be a priest, you had to come from the tribe of Levi. I mean, John the Baptist comes from the tribe of Levi, but he wasn't a priest. He was a prophet. But everybody had to come. Why? Because God is the one who selected who he wanted to represent him. That's the way that God works. So God is selecting priests to minister unto him, to worship him, to teach people how to worship him, and to be a mediator or a communicator to the people of God as to what God expects from you. That's the role and responsibility of the priest. Now, the beauty of all this is what you're going to see is all of this represents Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but when we study the tabernacle, I'm not a general contractor. So yeah, it takes me a little extra time to read it and understand what it looks like to be put together. And even after reading those three chapters, that's not what I would have constructed. Because God says in the text, you know, choose people, skillful persons who have endowed with the spirit of wisdom. I don't have the spirit of wisdom for clothing either. Right? Some of you do. Some of you would know how to make clothes. Some of you know how to dress better, all those kind of things. In other words, here's what God's saying. Everybody has different gifts. God's created you with different gifts. Some of the gifts that you have are different than anybody else. And what comes super easy for you is difficult for others. I was talking to a friend of mine who's a general contractor after we taught on the tabernacle. And he said, I could see it in my mind as you were preaching. And I'm like, I preached it twice and I still don't see it in my mind without a picture. So I wanted to show you a picture today of what we're trying to construct or build. This is an artist's rendering of what a priest would have looked like. This is what we're trying to construct, where you can see the turban on his head all the way down to the ephod in front of him and all the breastplate that we're going to talk about and the sashes, all those different things. Is it coming up on the screen? Yeah. Praise God, I don't have to dress like that on Sunday morning, right? But we're going to look at this and we're going to see this and we're going to see this is how Jesus was represented in the person of the high priest. And what you're also going to see is when Jesus Christ came and fulfilled everything and he died on the cross and he rose from the dead, he became what? The high priest. There are no need for any more high priests. Jesus Christ is our high priest. He's the fulfillment, and what the high priest would offer to God and what the high priest would sacrifice to God and how the high priest would communicate on God's behalf, Guess what? We now have the Lord Jesus Christ who has fulfilled it all. When he died on the cross, you remember the temple curtain was torn from top to bottom, opening up the Holy of Holies, meaning now there's access for everybody. What was only accessible to the high priest is now accessible to all of us through Jesus Christ. You wonder, where do we get all this information from? Today. Okay, this is what we're going to be talking about. And we read in, 1 Timothy 2:5, for there's, one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. We don't need to go through a high priest anymore. We can go directly to Jesus. Everything we're going to read about today, say, man, I need a high priest. You have one. If you've repented and believed, Jesus Christ is your mediator. Jesus Christ is your minister. Jesus Christ will teach you how to worship and lead you into God's presence. Jesus Christ will be the one who ministers to God for you. Jesus Christ will be the one who is your mediator between God and you. That's why Jesus had to be fully human.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Ministering Priests, from the series Exodus, exploring how God's intricate design for priestly garments reveals his heart for worship, ministry, and the ultimate fulfillment in Jesus, our great high priest. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment, but first, make prayer a priority in 2025 with the 21 Days of Prayer Journal, designed to help you make the discipline of prayer a habit in your life. We'll send you the journal as thanks for your gift to support Brave today. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. Once again, that website is PastorJeff.com. Now let's get back to today's message and listen to the conclusion of this teaching from God's Word.
Jesus Christ is your minister. Jesus Christ will teach you how to worship and lead you into God's presence. Jesus Christ will be the one who ministers to God for you. Jesus Christ will be the one who is your mediator between God and you. That's why Jesus had to be fully human so he could fulfill the role of being the high priest. That's why he had to be fully God in order to tear down that curtain so that we could have access into the holiness of God. That's who Jesus is. So God chose priests to be ministers and mediators between God and his people until Jesus Christ came and fulfilled it. And now we're going to get into what they wore. And when we see this, we're going to see that God chose priests to be representatives that demonstrated God's heart and declared his direction. They demonstrated God's heart. They're representatives that demonstrated God's heart and represented and declared his direction. Notice what he says in verse 5. They shall take the gold and the blue and the purple and the scarlet material and the fine linen. They should also make the ephod of gold, of blue, of purple, and scarlet material, and fine twisted linen, the work of a skillful workman. In other words, just like today, God had people in the camp that were skilled at doing all this. Now, we talked some about these colors last time. We're adding gold. Gold represents God's glory. Gold represents God's glory. Blue represents deity. Purple represents royalty. And red represents blood or the humanity. Do you see how Jesus Christ fulfilled all of these? Jesus Christ came full of glory. Jesus Christ is the glory and representation of God. Jesus Christ is full deity. In Christ, the full deity of God dwells. Jesus Christ is royalty. He's the king of the universe. Jesus Christ shed his blood on a cross. All of these colors are representative of everything that Jesus was going to be. Now, an ephod, in case you don't have one in your closet, is a sleeveless garment that the priests were to wear. It attached at the shoulders, and you're going to hear all about it in great detail here in just a minute. Verse 7 says, it shall have two shoulder pieces joined to its ends that it may be joined. The skillful woven band which is on it shall be like its workmanship of the same material of gold, of blue, of purple, and scarlet material, and fine twisted linen. You see the same colors. You shall take two onyx stones and engrave them on the names of the sons of Israel, six of their names on the one stone, of the names remaining six on the other stone according to their birth. As a jeweler engraves a signet, you shall engrave the two stones according to the names of the sons of Israel. You shall set them in filigree settings of gold. You shall put the two stones on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as stones of memorial for the sons of Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his shoulders as a memorial. You shall make filigree settings of gold. You shall have two chains of pure gold. You shall make them of twisted cordage work. You shall set the corded chains on the filigree settings. And you say, why all that? Here's why. Because God cares about all his people. God cared about the entire nation of Israel. God didn't care which of the 12 tribes you came from. He wanted to make sure on these onyx stones, six of the tribes were listed on one and six of the tribes were listed on another, which meant this: it represented everybody's name in Israel. And how did he have them done? He had them done by a fine craftsman, a jeweler. It wasn't just to be sketched with a little stone or a twig or put the names in there. It had to be done perfectly. Why? Because when they were on the shoulders, God could look down from heaven. He would perfectly see all the names. When the priest would go in and minister on behalf of the people, he was ministering on behalf of everybody. A good priest ministers on behalf of who? Not just himself. He's ministering on behalf of all of God's people. This was representative of the fact that God had all the names of his people represented. And he was carrying the covenant. He was carrying the people. He was carrying it on his shoulders. Fast forward to the New Testament. Do we see our high priest and king carry anything on his shoulders? Yeah, he carried a cross on his shoulders and he carried it all the way out into Jerusalem until he was hung on it. And why did he do that? Because he had you and I on his mind. He was carrying and bearing the sin for the weight of the entire world, right? This is what this is representing. It was representing God's love for all of his people. He was having it done with excellence. He was having it done with jewelry. He was having it done with gold cords because he wanted people to know, all my people matter to me. And that's not the last time you're going to see it. So that's how the ephod was attached, this garment that hung in front and back with these two onyx stones. Now we're going to talk about the breast piece. Notice what he says in verse 15. He says, you shall make a breast piece of judgment, the work of a skillful workman, like the work of an ephod you shall make it, of gold, of blue, of purple. Can you guess what next color is? It's scarlet. Just seeing if you're paying attention. And fine twisted linen you shall make it. It shall be square and folded double, a span in length and a span in width. You shall mount it on four rows of stones. The first row shall be a row of ruby, topaz, and emerald. The second row, a row of turquoise and sapphire and a diamond. And the third row, a row of jacinth and agate and amethyst. And on the fourth row, a beryl and an onyx and a jasper. They shall be set in gold filigree. The stones shall be according to the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names. They shall be like the engravings of a seal, each according to his name for the 12 tribes. So not only are we going to have the names of all the 12 tribes on the shoulder, guess what we're going to have? Right on this breastplate, we're going to have 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel right over the heart of the high priest. Why? Because the high priest would carry the names of all Israel on his heart. When Jesus Christ came, what did he carry on his heart? He carried the names of all the people. I mean, you've heard it said, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he had your name on his mind, right? He carried that. So everywhere the priest went, there was no mistake that he was ministering to God, but who was he ministering on behalf of? He was ministering on behalf of all the people of Israel. Who was he ministering to? Who was he mediating for? He was mediating to God on behalf of all the people, right? That's what he was doing. And we see this, and it wasn't just, yeah, pick up some stones somewhere, make them representative. I mean, these were special jewels. Even if you go fast forward and you read through the book of Revelation, you see all the different stones and you see all these different things. Why? It's representative of how much God cares about his people. You say, well, what's my takeaway? God cares about you. God thinks about you. God loved you so much, he sent his only son in the world to be a sacrifice for you. That's who our God is. Now notice what he says about this in verse 23 or 22. You shall make on the breastpiece chains of twisted cordage work in pure gold. You shall make on the breastpiece two rings of gold, and you shall put two rings on the two ends of the breastpiece. You shall put the two cords of gold on the two rings at the end of the breastpiece. You shall put the other two ends of the two cords on the two filigree settings and put them on shoulder pieces of the ephod at the front of it. You shall make two gold rings and shall place them on the two ends of the breast piece on the edge of it, which is toward the inner side of the ephod. You shall make two rings of gold and put them on the bottom of the two shoulder pieces of the ephod on the front of it, close to the place where it is joined above the skillfully woven band of the ephod. They shall bind the breast piece and the rings of the ephod with the blue cord, so that it'll be skillfully a woven band of the ephod, and that the breast piece will not come loose from the ephod. Now, tell me this. How many of you, if that was your Bible study this morning, would read the whole thing? I mean, we just scan, like, why so many words? Tell them to put on an ephod, for heaven's sakes. Tell them to put on a breast piece with 12. Why so much detail? Because God is so detailed, because God cares about everybody. And God wants to make sure that the high priest knows and that the people of Israel know, when you put it on, it's going to stay there. It's going to be fastened there. It's not going anywhere. There's a permanence to it. In the New Testament, you know what your great high priest said? That when you believe in him, no one will be able to snatch you out of his Father's hand. You know what he says? No one will be able to snatch you out of his hand. It means when you repent by faith and believe in Jesus and you're growing with him, nobody can take you away from him. Why? Because it's permanent. His love for his people is permanent. You can't lose his love. Is that good news or what? That's what he was foreshadowing here. That's what he was telling us about. That's why when we read this, we have to read looking back through the lens of our great high priest, through the lens of the cross, through the lens of Jesus. Otherwise, we're going to read this and we'll say, well, I'm not very skilled at this kind of stuff, and I don't understand what a difference between an ephod and a breast piece is, and what difference does it make? You may not understand that. And chances are, you may never go back and study Exodus 28 and 29 again. I get it. But I want you to see from this how holy our God is and how much he cares about you. That's what's important here. That's what he's showing us. Notice what he says to Aaron, or to Moses, about Aaron. He says in verse 29, he says, Aaron shall carry the names of the sons of Israel in the breastpiece of judgment over his heart when he enters the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. When Aaron goes in to minister, what's going to be over his heart? All the names of his people. For how long? Every single time he ministers. Well, what's our great high priest doing today? You remember in the book of Hebrews, when we studied the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, here's what Jesus is doing right now. It says this, therefore, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Do you know what Jesus Christ was doing last night when you went to bed? He was interceding for you. You know what he was doing when you woke up and got ready to come to church this morning? He was interceding for you. Do you know what he's doing right now? While you're listening to this message, he's interceding for you. Why? Because your name's on his heart. Because he created you and he loves you. And if you don't know him, he's praying that you would repent and trust him. And if you do know him, you belong to him. And he's praying that you'll hear him and continue to take steps of faith in your journey with him. That's our great high priest. That's what Aaron was representing. Continually bringing the names of the people on his heart before the Lord. Notice what he says in verse 30. In verse 30, he says, you shall put in the breastpiece of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. And Aaron shall carry the judgments of the sons of Israel over his heart continually. Now, Urim and Thummim mean light and perfections. That's what it means. Nobody knows what the Urim and Thummim was. We know it gave God's judgment on things. In other words, if God was going to say, I want you to go in this war, I don't want you to go in this war. If God was going to give special revelation that he hadn't given them already, the high priest would inquire using the Urim and the Thummim. Nobody knows what it is. I mean, we don't know if it was just a couple stones. Did they light up? I mean, when I read this, I think about back when I was a kid, they had that magic eight ball and you would ask it questions and shake it up. And then it would turn and be like, not necessarily so, or whatever, you know. Nobody knows. What we do know is that God allowed the high priest to use these two stones for times when they were inquiring of the Lord because they didn't know what to do. Now, you might say, where do I find those? Here's where. How many have been in a situation this week where you just don't know what to do? All right? One of you. That's great. You felt lonely when you raised your hand, didn't you? The good news is we have a great high priest that we can go to. When something is not directly written in the Bible, marry this person and it gives them their name. Or take this job and it gives the name of the company. Where do we go? We can inquire of the Lord. And God, through his word, through another person that can come alongside, through wisdom, through revelation, through speaking to your spirit, can give you the confidence to take the step or not take the step.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Ministering Priests, from the series Exodus, exploring how God's intricate design for priestly garments reveals his heart for worship, ministry, and the ultimate fulfillment in Jesus, our great high priest. Before we let you go, we want to remind you to request your copy of the 21 Days of Prayer Journal, designed to help you make prayer a daily habit this year. When you give a gift to support Brave, visit PastorJeff.com to give and request your copy. That's PastorJeff.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for email updates from Brave to be among the first to hear about new resources to equip you in your walk. Thank you again for joining us today.